Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Go from a fan of the show to star of the show. Send us your opinions now, and they could be discussed live on today's show. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show.
Good morning, Canada. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show. And good morning to Canadian sports fans around the world, wherever you may be chiming in today. Welcome to episode number 140 of the Rod Peterson Show, coming to you from the bunker out here in Western Canada. I'm the host, as the sign says, Rod Peterson. He's the co-host, Darren DuPont. Welcome to the rollout for Flooring Superstores. Good morning, Dupe.
Good morning.
In the spirit of the season, it's like I'm C-3PO and he's R2-D2.
There you go. I'm not a Star Wars guy. I've seen one of them.
You'd have to be deep into Star Wars for that. But there's a special screening tonight in town.
Are you going?
Opening. No.
Okay. No. I thought maybe you got the invite. I'm sure you did.
Kind of grew out of that around the age of 12. But I know there's a lot of people really excited about Star Wars opening up tonight. And we're excited about today's show. It's primarily hockey. We're going to get around to some football stuff, too. I swear I could sit here for 2 hours and talk about what came out of yesterday's show. Adam Big Hill's revelations of Grey Cup week, and a lot of the CFL's upset at Ryan Dinwiddie, to the new coach of the Argos, for being so cocky. So we can spend some time on that today. Like, that's new. And also the Montreal Alouettes suspending their search for their next general manager because the sale of the team is all gummed up. I mean, but that's also... So yesterday, today, you know, Thursdays we've reserved for hockey, really, and the Silver Fox, Kelly Rempel's not here. He's asked for a day off. Do we know where he is?
I don't.
Or why he needs a break from the show?
Well, he had a tough Christmas party. He was out at the Christmas party with us, so.
Swamped at work, Clark tells me. Okay. He's swamped at work. Clark telling me in my ear here, producer Clark. So, I think we can handle it. I'm pretty excited to have some longtime friends of mine, Mike and Cole Sillinger, coming into the bunker. They're actually here already. They're on the sponsor's couch. And I would tell Cole, he probably gets this all the time, but I was a fan of his dad when Mike was Cole's age, 16. So ready to tell you, silly, he's a hell of a lot better. I remember you at 16. Good, but this guy's next level. Next level. And actually currently on the CHL Team Vaughn Team of the Week. I like how the CHL is doing that.
Yeah.
Naming a whole five players. So Mike Sillinger, Cole Sillinger, right here in the bunker. Christmas holidays for his Medicine Hat Tigers. And so we'll be talking hockey with them. And also Danny Austin's going to join us from the Calgary Sun. There's been... Calgary Flames have had better years.
They have.
Between the Bill Peters firing, the assistant GM being diagnosed with ALS this week, we're going to be talking some Flames with Danny Austin, but he is on the Calgary Stampeders beat. And there's a lot of people across the CFL and in Calgary that think the Stampeders may not survive this exodus from their coaching staff. Danny would know better than anybody how that's going to shake out there in Calgary. So I'm looking forward to that chat. And then the Curlers will be in the house. Kirk Myers from the Myers Curling Team, which, by the way, he sent a nice Christmas card here. Hey, Rod, Darren, and Clark, thank you for your support of curling and our team. Keep up the good work. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year from Kirk and Team Myers.
That's great.
Very classy of him there. So Kirk's going to be here, as well as Rachel Holman, queen of the ice.
Oh, yeah.
Is going to be with us on the program today. Kirk's coming on saying that he can ask her the curling questions. I can handle it, Kirk. I know Rachel. I did an event with her a couple of weeks ago in Paradise Hill. But it'll be good for all of us to be together today and talk a little curling. And I was remiss the other day. We just put this up, right?
Yeah.
This Christmas card came from the great Ken Sheveldayoff, Minister Ken Sheveldayoff. His brother Kevin's the general manager of the Winnipeg Jets. Chevy showed up at Wendell Clark's in Saskatoon on Saturday before the Rush game to hand deliver these cards and to say Merry Christmas to everybody, all the viewers and the listeners. So we're leaving that there for the Sheveldayoff family, the pride of Blaine Lake, Saskatchewan.
That's great. No, it was great to see him. And yeah, he had the Christmas cards for us ready to go. And that's that season. It's fun.
Yeah. One more news item. Well, two things. One, when I said Chevy came down to Wendell Clark's before the Rush game, Wendell Clark's was jammed. I'd never seen anything like it, I don't think, with Rush fans all wearing the same lime green jerseys.
Yeah.
It was a thing of beauty.
Yeah.
Did you see, you must have seen the news from the Rush this morning?
No.
all of their games will be televised on Global Regina and Saskatoon.
I did know that was coming down the pipe, but
they announced
it was announced this morning.
It's the biggest news. That's breaking news. That's breaking news right there for the Saskatchewan Rush and NLL fans, of which I'm one. Do you know why? I think you would remember, because I've said this before, why I'm a lacrosse fan, pro lacrosse fan specifically, is TSN used to air NLL games way back in the early 90s.
Oh, yeah. Used to watch the Toronto Rock. I became a Toronto Rock fan.
Because TSN aired them, right.
Watched Toth, and I remember some of those guys on the team. It was awesome.
Yeah, Caleb Toth, the greatest NLL player ever, was on the PA Raiders when I was there. But I'm a fan because TSN aired the games. And now Global Regina and Saskatoon is going to air all Rush games. Now, not live. They're going to be tape delayed. But that really shouldn't matter. They're going to air them Sunday afternoons. Perfect timing. Yeah. It's like Stampede Wrestling. Do you think Stampede Wrestling was live when they aired it?
Probably.
Because it wasn't. Maka Singh, the Cuban Assassin, J.R. Foley. Doesn't matter whether it's live or not. It's getting it into people's living rooms across this wonderful province. So big news from the Saskatchewan Rush. And the other thing, next week, we're going to do some special shows. The CFL Year in Review. We're going to do a World Junior Preview special, right?
Yep.
And that has led into today's poll question for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center, and that is, how will Canada fare at the World Juniors in the Czech Republic this year? The options are gold, silver, bronze, or the fourth option is fourth or lower.
We don't want to think about
could
that.
Could you imagine?
We hate thinking about that.
You got 24 hours to vote on that poll. Clark just put it up. It's for Capital Auto Mall, Universal Collision Center. And clearly, I'm going to vote gold.
Yeah.
How about you?
Well, you have to. I mean, that's. I saw the odds. There's betting odds out there on the World Juniors, and I saw the Canada's clearly the favorite. Maybe not as many returning players as we're used to seeing and things like that, but just so much depth and high-end talent, I think. You can't argue with Canada at gold, at least gold or silver.
It's our expectation, right?
It's our expectation.
It's like saying you expect the Riders to win the Grey Cup every year. Of course.
Yeah.
So we expect, that's what we would vote for, gold. So I'm interested to see what the results of the poll are over the next couple of hours. Just a couple things. Lastly, here in the rollout for Flooring Superstores and our friends over there, Trent Dickin and his family at Flooring Superstores, Terry Carrier writes in. He says, I heard Rempel on another podcast. He plugged the show. I did not know the wrestling link. I was enthralled. Kelly Rempel, who normally sits in that chair every Thursday, was Bret Hart's manager in the 90s, in the heyday of the WWF. He was Bret the Hitman Hart's manager, and he was also a promoter for the WWF. He's got a million great stories, Remps.
Oh.
But he couldn't make it down here today because he's too busy doing financial things for people. So good for him.
Yeah.
I'm just... People checking in here, Johnny Schmidt writing in. He says, Cole, please come back to the Pats. Do you get that much, Cole? Lots, he says. If it was up to him. One other thing. I noticed the CHL Top 10 came out. All Saskatchewan teams have just slid right off the radar.
Yeah.
Medicine Hat's in there. Edmonton's in there. I believe Portland's in there. I think, have we had our day here in the 306?
It's
not going to be another 30 years, is it?
It's come and gone.
Until we're good again?
Unfortunately, it's going to take a couple. But maybe on the way back up, PA's still good. PA's still a good hockey team. They'll be back up there.
Nelson writes in and says, if it's not gold, it doesn't matter in this tournament. And it's like, what do we always say? Ricky Bobby said.
Yeah.
If you're not first, you're last. So it should be gold for Canada or bust. And our good friend Brad McEwen is the head scout. Guy knows talent, right? So we all expect gold for Canada. But next week, Tuesday, I guess, we will have our World Junior Preview special. Clark was telling me who we got on. Labardius for sure, right?
Yep.
And Sammy Cosentino?
That's... I think Clark's working on him still.
Okay, so that's next week at a CFL Week in Review. And you know what? That's about all I have for the rollout here, some of the things that we're going to talk about today. How about you? Anything that you want to... get to?
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm just excited to get into that season now that hockey's done. You know, Cole was talking about some of the teams just finished wrapping up. You were mentioning the games in the Western Hockey League. Other teams have had almost a week, it feels like, or at least half a week head start on their Christmas break. But no, it'll be fun. It'll be fun doing the World Juniors. It was fun going through all of the moments of the season as we start to get prepared for our CFL Year in Review show. And you go all the way back to the beginning of the year, and the Simone Lawrence hit on Zach Collaros, the beginning of the year. That seems like it was years ago.
Yes, it does.
You know, Kevin Glenn retiring happened early on in the season after teams were inquiring about his availability, and then he retired on this program. There's so much that happened during the year. Exciting. And then the other one, the New Year's Eve show, where we're going to count down the best moments of the year since we've been on the air. And there's a lot to choose from. Lot to choose from. I put my own little top 10 together that I'm going to share with you in a commercial break, but there might be some I forgot about.
Just a couple last items. Hey, you mentioned the WHL's on a real nice Christmas break. The SJ is going right into the weekend. Last night, remember we said that big game was going to be played in North Battleford, Humboldt Battleford?
Yes.
It's like blood boiling between the two.
And?
Stars won 4-2.
Okay.
So they're back on track. Tonight, Notre Dame is at Kindersley. Like I said, they're going right into the weekend. This Saturday, Southland Mall, 1 till 5 p.m., I'll be doing a book signing of our book that we put together, Heart and Soul of the SJHL 50-Year History Book. 1 o'clock till 5 o'clock, come on down to the Southland Mall and hang out with us. Have an eggnog. Buy those books. All proceeds go to the SJHL, a player assistance fund for players' mental health, by the way. So they're still on sale. They're only $30 for the hockey fan in your life. Can you put up the Norway comment, please, Clark, before we break? This has kind of caught fire across CFL circles. Adam Big Hill came on this show yesterday, Biggie, the Blue Bombers linebacker, and said they found out during Grey Cup week that the Hamilton Tiger Cats, in their practices, were practicing the victory formation in their practices 4 or 5 days before the game was even played. How they were going to end the game once they'd won in practice.
Uh-oh.
Severely ticked off the Blue Bombers is one of the things they carried onto the field in the game, and they went on to just mollywop the Tiger Cats 33-12. You weren't here when he said that, so I won't get your take. Is it that bad? You think it is?
It's a big deal.
Because you're supposed to visualize success, right? And
If they win, it's a genius thing to do, right? You envision how you start the day, how you go through the day, how you finish the day, and then you manifest it into your next day. But from the Winnipeg standpoint, they see it as being cocky. They're not really focused on the game. Let's just talk about how we're going to celebrate. We're planning the party. We're planning the victory formation. What color is the Gatorade going to be? Who's going to put it on the coach? All those things that are supposed to happen in the moment. I can see how they'd be ticked off.
I'm trying to give the Ticats the benefit of the doubt that you would practice your victory formation in practice several days before the game. I'm with you. At least don't let people find out about it.
Yeah, and they found out before the game.
They found out about it days before the game and actually didn't say anything about it until yesterday on this show. The poll results so far, I don't know who's voting on this thing. 35% of respondents, the most, say Canada's going to win silver at the World Juniors. Why even go over there then?
Why go over to be second best in the world?
35% say Canada's going to win silver. 29% say gold. 24% say fourth or lower. Is that the Norwegian viewers that are voting? Listen, remember, this is a worldwide show. It's not just Canadians. And on that vein, Trent is watching in Norway, and Trent says, Norway calling. Amazing to hear that Global Regina and Saskatoon will air the replays of the games on Sunday afternoons. Unfortunately, Bleacher Report Live is not available outside North America. Bring the Twitter replays back internationally as they did before or on other social media. Go Rush. So that's Trent living in Norway, a Saskatchewan Rush fan who's pumped that the games will be on Global. Do you think they get Global in Norway?
I don't know. Maybe they online stream. There's a couple apps.
Last weekend, they had Facebook Live carrying the Rush game.
Yeah, and there was a Twitter feed.
I was in the stands at SaskTel Center watching the game on Facebook. That's how big of a dork I am. We'll break. Johnny Schmidt writes in and he says, thank you for the hockey talk. Can't get enough. Love it. Well, Johnny, you're in luck because the Sillingers join us here in the bunker right after this break. This has been the rollout for Flooring Superstore on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Every sale held in 2019 has led up to our biggest event of the year. Ring in the savings with year-end clear out at Capital Ford Lincoln. We're making a list and checking it twice of the biggest savings on brand new vehicles this holiday season. Get into a brand new 2019 4x4 F-150 for as low as $33,495 plus tax. And brand new 2019 Ford Escapes are starting at just $23,999 plus tax. It's the most wonderful time of the year at Saskatchewan's largest Ford store, Capital Ford Lincoln in Regina.
Direct West provides us with stats and analytics, and it's amazing for us to look and see that, you know, each year we're 10 to 20% higher on our Google leads. It's great to see the success that our locations are having. The Direct West app gives us an opportunity to be in one place for people to find any of our locations or our commodities. Without Direct West, we would have to be in multiple digital places. I would recommend Direct West. They're great to work with.
Hi, I'm Joshua John Batista. I'm a staff radiation oncologist at the Alan Blair Cancer Center. CT simulators are essential for all modern radiation treatments. Before a patient can undergo the treatment planning process, the CT simulator is the first step. So it allows us to plan and deliver radiation treatments for thousands of patients.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back, everybody, on a Thursday morning. Going to get a lot of hockey on today, plus curling. Rachel Holman coming up later on, and Kirk Myers. Sports update, though. The Edmonton Oilers continued to stumble on the back end of a two-game road trip. Braden Schenn scored. Jake Allen made 35 saves, and the Blues beat Edmonton 2-1 in St. Louis. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins had a goal, and Mikko Koskinen stopped 42 shots for the Oilers, who've lost five of six. Also, Nico Hischier and Kyle Palmieri scored in New Jersey's first game since trading away superstar Taylor Hall as the Devils beat Anaheim 3-1. And Ian Cole and Mikko Rantanen each had a goal and a helper as Colorado beat Chicago 4-1. Raptors may have won in Detroit, but they suffered two big losses. Kyle Lowry had 20 points, 10 rebounds, and 10 assists as Toronto overpowered the Pistons 112-99. Raptors center Mark Gasol, however, left in the first quarter with a left hamstring strain, and Norman Powell left in the fourth quarter holding on to his left shoulder. Dallas quarterback Dak Prescott has a shoulder injury that's limiting him in practice, but shouldn't keep him out Sunday when the Cowboys try to qualify for the playoffs at Philly. The Cowboys and Eagles are tied for the NFC East lead at 7-7. And the Jaguars have fired Tom Coughlin as executive VP of football operations 2 seasons after the team advanced to the AFC Championship game. The 73-year-old Coughlin built the team from the ground up in 1995 and revived it upon his return in 2017. And that is your Thursday morning sports update for Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination. Well, it's our honor to welcome to the program Mike Sillinger and his son, Cole Sillinger. Mike's been on the program before via phone. It's his first time in the bunker. Hey, guys, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Same to you.
Yep,
always good to see you guys. I don't even really know where to start other than I'll start with Cole, the reigning Team Vaughn, CHL Player of the Week. Quite a week for you, Cole, going out with a bang before the Christmas break. What were some of the numbers you put up in the last week with the Medicine Hat Tigers?
Yeah, it was a good Saskatchewan road trip. I mean, always coming back to Saskatchewan, it's like where I like to play. And off to Saskatoon, we knew it was going to be two tough games. And got our power play going, had a couple assists in that game. And then in PA, had a great game, our line. You know, both my line mates had hat tricks, and I had a 6-point night, so it was good. And then going back to Red Deer, it's a tough one as well. Lost, and then I lost again the next day. So we didn't really finish on a good note, but no good Saskatchewan road trip for us.
16-year-old season for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it's really easy for you. Is it? Has it been easy?
No,
it's been a long road to get there.
Yeah, I was up with them last year when I was 15 at the end of the year there, so I think that was a big summer for me. I knew where I had to get to, and obviously, I think I've been put in situations that I've dealt with in the past. You know, I'm on the power play. I'm playing with two guys that kind of helped me and allowed me to play my game. And they played since they were 16 as well. Been to show camps and just stuff like that. So they've been really good to me.
Mike, well, I said to these guys before we went to air that I've been a fan of your dad since he was 16. I'm 1 year younger, by the way. But you came out with the Pats. I don't know if you remember the milestone to practice. And you guys, my dad was scouting for the Pats at the time, and you guys were in our kitchen, the pup line actually, having supper, and it was great. And you had a fantastic 16-year-old season, Mike. But not like this.
Not like this, no.
No.
It's pretty impressive. You know, I think you see how modest he is with his 6.8 and
I think it took me 3 years to get 6 points in a game, and I think I did it against our arch rivals down the road here against Moose Jaw, so it was nice to pound a Saskatchewan team. But anyways, you know, Cole's off to a great start. Obviously, you know, he gives a lot of credit to his line mates and whatnot, but, you know, he deserves a lot of credit himself. Obviously, he's making the most of the situation, and the thing that he you know, it's the work ethic. You know, he on and off the ice, you know, Cole's dedicated to the game. He's big time into nutrition. And you know, working out, and he's a hard worker. So that's what you know, anyone that's coached a kid obviously realizes that, and that's a big reason for success.
I'm just gonna get one hockey nerd question here, about the nutrition, because Mike, you played in an era. It was McDonald's.
Cheeseburgers, yeah, we were.
Right.
Doug Sauter.
Right. We were. I saw it. And you seemed to do okay.
Yeah,
you
well,
know, but
yeah.
How about you, Cole? Like, would you even touch a cheeseburger? What's your diet like?
I don't know. That's there once in a while, but, I mean, you don't eat. I guess everyone's a nutritionist now. You know, back then, I don't think anyone was, so no one really got a head start on that. But, you know, everyone's watching what they eat and getting the carbs and the proteins and stuff like that. But obviously there's still no time for a cheeseburger here and there.
Are you on like a Tom Brady diet? Or what is your diet? Is there some guy that you've modeled it after?
I don't really have like a certain diet. It's just like kind of just like watch what I eat and stuff. I don't have like a lot of sweets and stuff like that, but yeah, just have good dinners and good breakfasts, and that's it.
Eats all day.
Eats, yeah.
Five times a day.
Oh, I can't imagine your grocery bill. At least they're all out of the house
that's
now, right?
Yeah.
But I remember, and we have questions coming in from our viewers, and I'll get to those for both Sillingers here. But I mean, I don't know if you remember, Cole, but obviously I've known you guys since you were literally born in this, the situation with Owen and Lucas and yourself. Everybody said Cole's the one, but he was always small. When did you hit this spurt that you've hit? Because when I saw your dimensions, what are you currently at for height and weight?
Like 6 feet, 190, 95 pounds.
And still going for a 16-year-old, Mike, that's huge.
Yeah, it is.
It really is.
I broke into the league. I said to him, I was probably 5'10 and a half. I still say I was 5'11. But I was 185 pounds. I was a thick guy, so... He's tall and lanky, and he carries his weight well. Like, you'd never guess he's 190 pounds.
But were you always the smaller guy, and then you just hit a spurt, or what?
Yeah, I was always, you know, a little bit heavier, a little bit stronger, but I think I hit my spurt in my draft year, kind of thing like that. But, yeah, I've always been, you know, I think I'm a bit stronger, like, always in my age group, but, yeah.
It's funny. So one of the first comments that came in was from Johnny Schmidt, my buddy John, Habs fan, says, Cole, come back to the Pats. And I'll be honest with you. I've drifted away the last few years from being real close to what the Pats are doing, and I'm one of the people going, why is he not playing for the Pats? He's a Sillinger. And then, of course, it was actually Clark, our producer, who said Pats didn't have a first-round pick the year you went. Do you get tired of answering that question? How often do you get it?
Not so much now. I mean, I'm happy where I am. I'm happy, you know, how things ended up, and obviously, you know, playing at home would have been nice, but, you know, I really like Medicine Hat so far. You know, Willie came in there, done a great job. I have a great relationship with him, and, you know, just the whole team, the whole culture there. Everyone wants to get better. Everyone's, you know, trying to make the next jump to the NHL, AHL, whatever that may be. And yeah, everyone's just, you know, we have a good group of guys in there, and I can just be myself around the team.
Medicine Hat's an awesome hockey town. Like, I love Medicine Hat. I love the old barn, and I haven't been to the new one yet. But, Mike, what's it like? You played in there as a road city. What's it like having your boy playing for the Tigers?
Well, it's pretty special. Obviously, he doesn't understand the magnitude of the old barn. And always had 4,500 people standing over top. It was a crazy place to play. So they're having a little bit of issues with transition. Obviously, the building is a little bit outside of town. It holds 6,000 people, and you know, they're getting under 3,000 right now, and a lot of it has to be, it comes down to the location of it, and it's funny, you can't make everyone happy, but it's a beautiful place, very brand new barn, and hopefully they start getting some people in there, because they got a real good team, and hopefully they're playing hockey for a long time this year.
Well, we had a guy in here this week who said on the show, I worry about junior hockey. And I said, if everybody who worried about junior hockey just went to the games, we wouldn't have to worry about junior hockey. Because really, that's all that it is attendance. And the product's amazing. And it's funny, now the Facebook wall's lit up with Blades fans want Cole, Pats fans want Cole. Well, you're a top 10 team. You're not going anywhere. You guys got something special going on in Medicine Hat.
Yeah, I mean, we do. That's, you know, something we do or someone we talk about lots, even at the start of the year. And we do a lot of extra conditioning, and I think that's, you know, helped us to where we are today. But yeah, I think, you know, Willie's done a great job of, you know, just getting everyone on the kind of the same page, and I know everyone there wants to be playing there till the end of May, so we're ready for that.
What is it? I'll ask you both. What is it about Willie that works? I mean, he's won gold with the World Juniors, up and down results in the NHL. Didn't always have the best teams, but he really seems to have a fit in the dub. What do you like about Willie?
I just like that, you know, he always, you know, knows how to make guys click and stuff, and he's very approachable. You can talk to him if you know, something's not going right and stuff. But yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. He just knows how to, you know, get you going and stuff. And if you don't really like what you're doing, you can just talk to him, and he's like you can talk to him like the assistant coach, like whatever, and stuff like that. But he just puts you in the right situations and stuff, and I think, you know, everyone respects him.
Reason why he's had such success, obviously.
And he's a detail guy. I think he's a detail guy, and, you know, that's one thing you've talked to me about, is that, you know, he pays attention to details of the game and just little small things away from the puck too. And you know, he's obviously had big time success here at the junior level, and obviously at the NHL level as well. So,
well, here's one for both of you. I mean, I'm similar to my dad. I do a lot of work in both the WHL and the SJHL. I love both leagues. And while we'd love to work together, you spend time with one, they're rivals too, as leagues, right?
Yep.
And you made a comment, Cole, about your teammates wanting to get to the NHL and the American Hockey League. I'll ask you both, why'd you choose the dub? I'm glad you did, but why the dub?
You go first? Okay.
You go first.
I think for me, as soon as I got drafted, I kind of tried to keep my options open. You know, I was 15 years old. And I didn't want to, you know, make a 100% commitment on whether I was going college or the Western League. So I think that's kind of where I have to put my ego aside and not really, you know, worry how high I got drafted in the draft or how late. I just wanted to go to a team that, you know, would know wanted me and would, you know, put me in the right situations and stuff like that. But I think, you know, as soon as I got picked in Medicine Hat, that's, you know, kind of where I was like, hey, I'm going to go to the WHL. I like it's close to home, and, you know, new barn. I heard good things about the city and stuff like that. And I knew I was, as soon as I got drafted, you know, 11th overall, I kind of knew I was going to play there at 16. I think that's, you know, something that was huge for me. I wanted to be there, you know, 16, 17, 18 for the development. And you know, he always talks about it. It's the fastest road to my end goal, which is NHL. So that was basically the end answer for that.
And I had no choice. Basically, back in the day, there was no draft. It was just a 50-man protected roster. So I played all my minor hockey here in Regina. And Bob Strom was GM at the time, and he protected me at the age of, I think, 13 or 14 years old. I took a couple spots up on the Regina Pats list. And, you know, the rest was history. It just was kind of like, back in the day, a lot of hometown boys played for their junior team. And that was just kind of the way, you know, like I look at my good buddy, Jamie Heward. He was protected by PA. He got traded out east or out west. And then the only reason he played is he got traded back to the Pats. So, you know, it was kind of like, we had a lot of locals on the team. I think one of the years, it might've been my draft year, we had 10, 11 or 12 Regina boys playing here on the team. So, you know, it's obviously a different system now with the draft. They try to keep all the teams on the same playing field, and, you know, everyone's kind of stealing everyone's local players, and it was kind of weird. His draft year, basically, a lot of the first rounders, they all kind of got drafted locally. So, you know, a lot of players, like you go through the draft and they kind of, you know, so it's... Well, that's how it works.
It's funny when you explain why you went to the dub. I mean, I knew why. Yeah, you didn't have a choice. But were you part of Cole's decision to go to the dub, or did you strictly let him decide?
No, I let him decide. Obviously, it was tough. You know, he knew his options. He had he was going to go to UND. UND was the NCAA route. They were all over him. And obviously, you know, that program, when you do your research and everything, it's the best college to play for. So he was either going to go do that or play in the Western Hockey League. And, you know, he's got two brothers that went NCAA. Obviously, very tough decisions. One was the first guy that had to make a decision. He was drafted in the 11th round and got traded. And then Portland wanted to sign him. And he had a fantastic midget year. And he just said, you know what, I'm going to go play junior A and go play NCAA. So his decision was, obviously, he went out to Portland and checked it out and everything. And he made a decision to go NCAA and is the second year Bemidji and is really enjoying it. Lucas, Regina Pat's drafted player. Obviously a very tough decision. The Pats offered him, right at the Mem Cup, a 4-year deal to sign. And same thing, he played in Penticton for a couple of years, and he was humming and hawing and did all his research, and he just felt it was the best way for him to succeed in hockey, and he went NCAA as well. So he's next year he'll be in Omaha, Nebraska, and obviously with Cole, again, different path. Probably, being a high pick, being a first rounder. I think, the end goal is for all the boys to play pro hockey, but I think he did his research. He just felt, if I got to move away from home anyways, if I'm going to go play UND, I got to go play junior A somewhere else anyways. So I think his big thing is he just said, I want to play in the best league possible, and it is the WHL. So
right,
good for him.
Mike and Cole Sillinger with us, and that's the thing. I love both leagues. You just got to choose carefully.
Yep.
Where it's not, there's a good fit for everybody between the two. But I got to laugh about this. Did you not want one of your boys to play at ASU? I did an event with Wendell Clark, and Wendell was trying to convince one of his boys to go play at ASU because you got a place there. Yes. Are they ever going to be an option in hockey for top flight players? Yeah. Canadians.
At ASU?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a good team. Yeah, they're going to get in the league eventually. Their big thing is they got to get a rink. Once they get a rink, they're playing at Oceanside right now, and they can't play in that rink. It only holds about 1,500 fans, so they got to get a 3,000-5,000 seat arena. And I heard it's in process. And once they do, they'll get in the league. And once they get in the league, absolutely, they're gonna, they're doing a good job recruiting right now. And actually, Owen was one of the teams that he almost went to.
Have been nice?
Yeah, it is. But
so,
you know what?
Clearly, you don't nudge your kids. You let them make their own decisions.
It's almost like if you give them all the information, but if you tell them what to do, obviously you don't want it to come back to you. That's what
you Carl, can't.
That's what my wife that's and I. Yeah, we don't want it to come back to us. It's like, this is your decision. Yeah. You got to live with your decision, and obviously lay all the options on the line. And like I said, I'm proud for all three of them for making their decisions they've made. And now we get to sit back and watch them online and on TV and enjoy Phoenix more ourselves too. So it's
and one day in probably in NHL arenas, which will be cool too. By the way, can you put up the question from Todd regarding the rules, if you don't mind? It was a question for both Sillingers. Here it is from Todd Pinckney. Question for both Sillingers: if someone just asked you to make up the rules of hockey, like the game was just being invented today, would you include offsides? With there being so many offsides being challenged and goals getting reversed.
Would you what?
Would you have offside in the game if you could start all over with the rules? I think you have to.
You have to.
Yeah, what would you change in the rules? For me, it would be tag up icing. Gone. Because that's my own personal thing. Now they got hybrid icing in the WHL, obviously, but just get rid of it altogether. Once it crosses the goal line, no tag up. But yeah, would you change anything?
Yeah, maybe that. Yeah, icing. Who knows? Every year they try to make the game faster.
They fiddle with it too much.
That's right, they fiddle with it. But
any rules you don't like, Cole?
I don't know, maybe some hitting rules. I don't know, every time it seems like someone makes a big hit, he's either got a fight or he gets jumped or it's a penalty, he gets kicked out. So I don't know, maybe just obviously you have to worry about the guys. No, you can't hit his head or anything like that. But I think, I don't know, just seems like everybody's getting hit and they have to fight or something like that. So maybe just take a little step back on that and let them play hockey a little bit more.
Well, but the thing is, it's like football is the same. There are rules in there for that. So, yeah, you hit somebody hard and then you got to fight. I know exactly what you're saying. Well, that's what the instigator is there for. That guy should get 2, 5, 10 and maybe kicked out, but they don't always call it, Mike. Yeah. Like, the rules are all there. It's just whether or not they're going to enforce them or not.
Yeah.
And call them properly.
And there's not that much fighting nowadays anyways. I said back in the day when we laid out someone, it was a 5-on-5 brawl. Automatic. It was, and especially if you had like a Scott Daniels on the ice or someone, that's what happened. If one of the guys got laid out, it was, I had five, Huey, myself, and Frank Kovacs. We had 5 5-on-5 brawls, and Frank Kovacs started them all that year. And he was the first guy in the penalty box, and I'm out there crapping my pants, and Huey's out there crapping his pants, and Frankie's in the box, the biggest, strongest guys in the box. We're like, who'd he pick to fight? Mm-hmm. Had no
Don't get me going on that. But just a couple last things. Cole, growing up, traveling all over North America, following your dad, what was that like being a hockey kid when your dad's in the NHL? And when did you get old enough to realize, holy smokes, my dad's a pretty big deal?
Yeah, it's tough because I don't really remember it all. I think, you know, Owen, my oldest brother, he would have the best, you know, best memory of him playing in the NHL. But I think I remember a little bit of his last years in New York there, and kind of just, I just remember, I don't think I was like in a league or anything like that. I kind of just like skated, you know, skated here and there. But yeah, I think that's when I kind of started to realize that it's pretty important. And then, you know, obviously a couple years after he retired, I think that's when it really kicked in. He's like, holy, my dad was a former NHL player, and I can really use him to my advantage. So I think that's when it started to kick in.
You know, of all the cities, Mike, you still hold the record, do you not?
Yeah, 12.
12 teams traded, yeah. 11. What was your favorite city?
We had a couple. Cole was born in Columbus. I know Carl and I really enjoyed playing for the Blue Jackets. And St. Louis, for whatever reason, you know, we just, all boys were in school there. We really enjoyed, you know, the on and off ice part. It was a great hockey town, and, you know, so that's always awesome to see him win the Stanley Cup.
So it was for hockey reasons, not weather reasons.
No.
You played for Florida. You just played for Tampa. You played...
Yeah, I played all over. Yeah, I played all, every sunshine state, but our city for that matter. But, yeah, we just, you know what, it's just... I think it's, you know, you go through different stages and whatnot, and obviously, you know, we liked everywhere we've been. You know, that's one thing. You know, we didn't take a day for granted. We enjoyed every... You know, I played 17, 18 seasons in the NHL, and my wife and I enjoyed every single one of them, and obviously got to raise a family, and now we're watching them all play hockey, so it's we were very lucky and fortunate, and we enjoyed all the places.
Good life, for sure. Yep. The last one I have there, I can't remember the last time there's been a player in the WHL where what Cole's got going on is that when he's coming to your city, you got to buy a ticket to see him play. That's the buzz that's going around. I hear the people, my friends, talking in the gym about you, Cole. Does that come with pressure? How does it feel to know that people are buying a ticket to specifically come watch you play?
I don't know if it's any extra pressure. I think I treat every game the same. I don't like, even when I come back to Regina or Saskatoon, somewhere close to home, obviously hope there's gonna be a couple friends or family members going to those games. But yeah, I think it's just another game for me. I do the same preparation for every game and stuff, but yeah, you obviously want to, you know, shine a little bit more in those cities and stuff, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, of that, you know, you remember Medano, right? When he was coming to your rink, Sully.
Used to chase him around.
You played against him. But I'm saying there's been players since Mike Medano, between Mike and Cole Sillinger, but he's the guy that comes to mind, that just a marquee guy. What's it like to have your boy being that? And
yeah, we're proud parents, you know, obviously. We watch every single game of all the kids, and we've been to Medicine Hat. We've, you know, watched them play here. We've been to Swift Current, Moose Jaw. We travel around, watch them play. But yeah, he's just very, very proud. Obviously, he carries all boys. They care of themselves very well. You know, as far as additional pressure, I think coming from a hockey family, they understand that, you know, you're gonna have that pressure. So you know what, you got to park it and play hockey. So that's one thing that Cole does very well, is that, you know, probably, you know, you've got the opportunity to play with the under-17s, and was a captain of the team as well, and it was big time pressure, and you know, these guys got a chance to win a medal, and obviously finished fourth. But you know, the all these kids, you know, there's so much pressure that they have to deal with, and he does a good job with it.
A question has come in from Alan Lai on the Facebook wall. He says, "Hey Cole, who would be your NHL comparison? Who's the NHL player that you either think you play like, or you hear that you play like?"
I don't know. That's a tough question. I get that asked a lot. But I try to model my game after a couple people. But I think person I would compare myself to would be the guy that just got traded, Taylor Hall. I think I'm not as good skater as him, but I think, you know, similar skill and grit. So that'd be the player I compare myself to.
What would you say, Mike? What are the scouts saying?
I don't know. It's tough to say. Well, the quick release of the shot's crazy. Like for 16 years old, it's on and off his stick, and you know, as long as he hits the net, he usually has big time success. But that shot is he snaps it a little bit like, and I probably too much pressure, I say Austin Matthews, but he shoots it very well. You know, that's why he's got that spot in the power play. Is you know, he plays with all those 19-year-olds, and they slide it over early in the season. They were just letting them shoot it. Now they're getting those shooting lanes and trying to block it. But, You know, he can really shoot the puck well, and you know what? I think he's working on his all around game. He's good defensively. You know, takes pride in being an all around player, and you know, has real good vision. And he's as far as comparing, I think Taylor Hall's a good you know. Yeah.
Taylor Hall and Austin Matthews, not bad. But I did hear you've been working on your shot a long time since you were real little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How many pucks would you shoot in a day, and how did you work on your shot?
Just at the garage, he would get mad at me every time I snap hit the garage and just
break
the
garage.
Yeah, get mad. But yeah, after practice, before practice, that's what I like about, you know, being in the Western League. There's no one on the ice before you or after you, so you can stay out there as long as you want. And you know, me being a rookie, I got to pick up the pucks and the water bottles anyway, so I'm, you know, kind of forced to stay out there. But yeah, after the practice, I get, you know, maybe like 100 pucks and just shoot in the same corner, you know, no looking, just try different things, you know, shoot, you know, off balance, different foots and stuff like that. Just, yeah, and I think in practice, I shoot to score every time. I think, you know, obviously when you're warming up the goalies, you put in the goalies' pads and stuff, but I think, you know, that's something that me and my line mates do very well is, you know, when you're, you know, on 2-on-1s or 3-on-2s, we want to score. So
don't waste them.
Us in the game yet. Yeah.
Ryan, would you mind handing us the hats over there? Sorry, our technical producers over there, Ryan Baracco. We have a gift for the Sillingers from Good Sasky. Offset. You guys can pick which ones. Can you just show those to the camera here? This is from our friends. They're from Moose Jaw.
There you go.
Good Sasky. We got green ones. We got white ones. We got black ones. You're hockey players. I assume you wear hats, don't you? You guys wear hats?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. The green one's invisible because of the green screen, but that's okay. It looks great. All right, guys, thanks for coming in. Merry Christmas, and I appreciate the visit. Been looking forward to it for a while.
Yep, thank you very much.
All right, Mike and Cole Sillinger. When we come back, our WHL prospect profile plus Danny Austin of the Calgary Sun. You're watching the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
I've chased adrenaline my entire life. But I'm talking fourth quarter, monster hit, crowd losing it, nothing. Beats the energy of a rush game.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your Sastel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
All right, welcome back to the program, everybody, on this Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us for coffee. Caliber Coffee here on the program. Darren DuPont has slid back into the bunker. The Sillingers have adjourned. They with their good Sasky hats. Before we move on to further topics, and again, Kirk Myers and Rachel Homan coming up in hour two to talk a little curling with us, plus Danny Austin of the Calgary Sun. Our WHL Sask Snow Beef prospect profile, which we do every week, every Thursday. We're going up to Prince Albert today. Nolan Allen of the Prince Albert Raiders wears number two. He's from Davidson, Saskatchewan. They produced a lot of great hockey players out of there, haven't they?
Oh.
In Davidson, the halfway town. Third overall pick of the Bantam draft in 2018. The scouting report on him from WHL.ca, a two-way D-man who likes to jump up in the rush and stand up in his own end. Nolan Allen of the Prince Albert Raiders is this week's Sask Snowbeef WHL prospect profile, and it's really catching on. I thank Ian Crosby from Crosby Holsteins and Sask Snowbeef for coming up with the idea to do it in the first place, and people are talking about the prospect profile every week on this show.
I know, I'm getting it when I go about to, like, when are you going to put a player from our team on the, you know, so
wait, didn't we do Caden Korzak last week?
Yeah,
we did at the Kelowna Rockets.
Oh yeah,
so it's a lot of hockey today, and I was certainly not afraid to talk about that. It was a fun visit here with the Sillingers. I just want to check the Prairie Mobile text line. I got a note from Prairie Mobile. A very Prairie Christmas. Receive a free wireless charging pad with your accessory purchase of $80 or more. You can text us right here in the bunker, 306-840-8777. That's 840-8777. Brady, writing us from Saskatoon, says, hey, Rod, I think the Canada World Junior team will make it to the gold medal game, but will have their hands full with a very good USA team full of players like Cole Caulfield, the best sniper in the 2019 NHL draft. So thank you, Brady, for chiming in from Saskatoon. And people are really starting to perk up and pay attention to these 2019-20 World Junior Hockey Championships. And we have to remember something. It's not our game anymore. It really ticked me off when Hockey Canada came out with that slogan 5, 6, 7 years ago. It's our game. No, it's not. We've made great strides to grow it in America, obviously all over Europe, and to boldly go into a tournament and expect gold while you always want to expect to be first. Mm-hmm. You can't demand a summit and burn down the offices of Hockey Canada if you don't win gold or if you don't even medal. I mean, the expectation's there, but Brady makes a great point. USA might be the number one world power in hockey right now.
Yeah.
And we just need to admit it.
Oh, it might be. And, you know, the more that the game becomes inclusive for everybody, the more it's going to be your game. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, I've seen in the last dozen years that the game's become less inclusive, right? It's become less of an easy game to play. We're not playing on the outdoor rinks anymore. We're not playing on the pond anymore. And when everybody's not playing the game, it becomes that much more difficult to find good players, right? I mean, it's just that simple. The more you're playing, the better chance you have to find better players. More and we're seeing the young, you know, young teams when you get into, you know, I don't know if we're getting into double A, triple A novice and Adam hockey, but we are in peewee. And at that age, at peewee age, you're already getting into checking roles, bottom six, top six.
That's where we've ruined it.
And so when you used to be able to have 12 forwards and they're all trying to be scored, and you have that much more opportunity to develop high end players and creativity and to choose from, now we're choosing from 3, maybe 6 players on each of these teams. I think that's a big issue.
You were born in 88, right?
7.
87?
Yeah.
I sort of feel sorry for anybody of your age and younger, because now it is all about a business, and because there's structure in the minor hockey all through the ranks, it's not as much fun as it used to be. But in the 70s and 80s, particularly the 80s, when we had Canada Cups every couple of years, hockey was still about hockey. It wasn't really about a business yet. Mm-hmm. And yes, the players were being taken advantage of and so forth, and that was wrong. But now it's all about business. And the last Olympics where the NHLers played was Sochi, correct? And Canada won, because the last one in South Korea was not NHLers, and it was a joke.
Right.
But I'm like, where do we get the best gauge of what the best country is? I would suggest NHLers versus NHLers in the Olympics, or a World Cup if we ever did it again.
Yeah.
But here's an example. Went out for supper last night to The Cottage, a wonderful South Regina restaurant. Greeks. And that was our friends Mike and Joanne Lieber with us. Well, they saw the Chicago Blackhawks play in Arizona here in the last couple weeks. They said there's a very good reason Kirby Dach is with the Chicago Blackhawks and not coming home. He was their best player that night for the Chicago Blackhawks. Now, what a difference he would make for Team Canada. And it's not new, NHL teams keeping their stars, their young players, over the World Juniors. But the Blackhawks keeping Kirby Dach at 18's ruined two teams.
Yeah.
Canada's World Junior team and the Blades.
Yeah.
Right? So maybe you go to the World. Now, there's European teams that will have prospects playing in the NHL too. It's not just about Canada, right?
Right.
And the Americans. But I'm just saying you're not necessarily getting an accurate representation of what's the world's dominant hockey power right now because of these situations that I'm talking about.
The Olympics was it, and I just wish that, I know it's, the business of the World Cup is a lot of business, a lot of jersey sales, a lot of ticket sales, and it's all controlled by the NHL, and that's big for business. But it's a little bit short-sighted because the Olympics is good for the game. I remember I collect a Petro Canada little binder, and they'd have all the inserts, you know, so every time you fill up with, mom and dad would fill up with gas, you get a new insert with a new player. And I grew up kind of at the end of it, falling in love with the game. And for me, the best hockey I know is the 2002 Olympic Games. That's the best hockey I know because it was all of my hockey heroes. Yeah, Gretzky.
Owen Nolan, Joe Sakic.
Yeah, Eric Lindros, Mario Lemieux,
Curtis
Steve
Joseph.
Yzerman, Martin Brodeur, Joseph, Ed Belfour was the third goalie on that team. Jovanovski, Pronger, McInnes, who else was on the back end? Man, that Niedermeyer, those were, that was it for me. Korea, Aginla, Fleury played on that team. I could probably name you the whole team up top to bottom. And that for me was it. And they had the documentary that came out, building it. They hadn't won, Canada hadn't won a gold in 50 years. That was about hockey, not about the business. It was about the hockey. They played the United States in the gold medal game. I got it on a DVD, and I watch it every few months. Bob Cole and Harry Neal on the call, my heroes. That's falling in love with the game. And it's not perfect. It's not full of technical this and that. It's not the business. It's just the game. And I just absolutely loved it. So, that for me is that's hockey, and I hope we get back to that with the Olympics. I really do.
Johnny Schmidt writes in again, very much enjoying the hockey program today. And John, thanks for hanging with us. He says, nothing beats the 87 Canada Cup. I'm going to tell you, nothing beats the 1987 Canada Cup. And I don't care. 72 Summit Series, 2014 Olympics, nothing beats. And you, it was the year you were born.
Yeah.
Mario Lemieux. That's the one.
I watch it. I've seen it.
Belashenkin was the goalie for Russia. They're playing in Hamilton Cubs Coliseum. The entire country was watching. And would we get? Can we get back to that? I don't know. We got back to that for the 2014 gold medal Olympic game.
Right.
You know, it was a Sunday morning. But Sean in Saskatoon writes in and says, I also feel really disconnected from the NHL because I've only been to two games. It's not easy to get to one. That's why I love the dub. It's part of your community. Nelson goes on to say, greed is wrecking sports overall. And it is, but there's absolutely no doubt we can show you hundreds of examples of how it is.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't stop what we're going to be doing here every morning, sitting here and having coffee and talking about it.
Right.
And it welcoming the involvement of our viewers and listeners. Another viewer, Sean, writes in. He says, the 2010 Olympics gives me chills, though. Can't believe it'll be 10 years this February. The country just came together. So Ryan, sitting on our couch, over, that's his. So I guess everybody has... Are you old enough to remember the 87 Canada Cup?
Yeah, I watched it when I was 5.
Watched it when he was 5 years old. There's no right or wrong answer. For me and John, it was the 87 Canada Cup. But that was heyday of the Oilers. Wayne, Mess, Koff, Fierzy. The whole team was the Oilers.
But that was
maybe that's why it was so much fun for us. But I also, 2010 was one of those where were you moments.
Yeah, it was.
And I was sitting on the couch and my parents in Milestone, Saskatchewan, watching it, 2010 Olympics. The golden goal! Sidney Crosby. Yeah, that was great too. There's no right or wrong answer.
But isn't that funny? Aside, I mean, and you're an Oiler guy. I'm sure you were in the late 80s.
Oh, yeah.
That's your team.
Until 88, and, August 9th, when they traded Wayne.
Right.
Thanks for bringing that up.
But aside from your team winning something like that, winning a cup, and if the Leafs ever won a cup, I mean, because it's so rare, that would be a big deal. But your favorite moments of the game all have to do about the country. Canada Cup. 2002 Olympics, 2010, such a national Canadian moment where we can celebrate the game. It's hard to do that in an NHL setting, just to celebrate the game itself. It's more about the teams, the individual teams. And the World Cup lost it a little bit for me with the Team North America, because it's like, we're going to have a World Cup, but 1 year I'm going to play with you, and
they
the next
really
year
blew
I'm going to play against you.
They really blew that.
It was a wildly entertaining group. And the games were super entertaining, but it had no connection and no meaning. So that really lost it for me.
Yeah, but it is what it is. I try to be positive. I mean, I talk about going to the Oilers game December 27th. Our family's totally stoked about it. I've got my McDavid jersey, my orange McDavid jersey. My brother, actually, Lee, if you're listening, tell me He said a friend of his ordered an orange Oilers 99 Gretzky jersey.
Whoa.
For me, special. Lee, let me know. I'd like to get that in the next 10 days. I'd look pretty hot walking around Rogers Place in a 99 Gretzky orange jersey. So many people would be going, where'd you get that?
Yeah. Oh, that'd be cool.
Unless they sell hundreds of them at West Edmonton Mall. I don't
know.
You
walk in thinking you're going to be the belle of the ball.
And there's thousands of them.
Yeah, two dozen of them walking around.
It's probably not that rare. I just haven't seen one. But my McDavid jersey's hanging on the wall over there, by the way.
Yeah.
My Oilers.
Is that the one you're taking, right? You're going to wear that?
Yeah. Yes. We'll be down one jersey in the bunker next week when I go to Edmonton for the
Christmas
game.
Is coming. The one other thing I wanted to mention, and I've been thinking about this for a little while, when it comes to hockey and is it our game and things like that, and we have that older school mentality, and some of us that are getting older, and we grew up in playing outside outdoor rinks, and we're like, the kids aren't the same. We're not playing outdoors. The hockey's dying. How many of us that are saying that, when's the last time we put on skates? When's the last time we went on an outdoor rink? When's the last time we flooded a backyard or went out for a skate, right? And I remember I started doing that because Dad was doing it. He took me out to the outdoor rink and took me out skating. It's like we're trying to hang on to these memories of our childhood, but yet we're not doing those things anymore. So how are our kids ever going to see or ever want to do those things, right? So if you're thinking about that and you miss the old days, put on a pair of skates, go find an outdoor
rink. I heard on the news the other day there's over 50 outdoor rinks in Regina.
That's cool.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
And I plan on spending a lot of time in outdoor rinks. And my family can attest to this. Back in the day, I used to just go play with kids, suit up. Like, I'm talking about teens. I'm not playing elementary school kids, but just go. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it used to be. Put your skates on, go out, and just join a group.
Show up, put your stick in the middle,
and away you go. What did I have? You had a go. Clark, give me your thoughts on international hockey before we bring on Danny Austin. Clark had his. Or did you take it off? He deleted it, and it's gone. He said his best moments row 2 and 10. So he's got a tie. So we've all got our own different. But anyways, great hockey discussion this morning. Coming up next hour, we'll tilt it a little bit. We're going to talk Calgary Stampeders with Danny Austin of the Calgary Sun. And also Rachel Holman, talking some curling with Rachel, queen of the ice now, the reigning queen of the ice. And Kirk Myers from the Myers curling team. Here's Clark on international hockey. He says 0-2 and 10. I was in California when Crosby scored, and we ran around the streets in a Canadian flag. And it was also, too, by the way, in all my years with the Pats, because somebody had brought up Eberle scoring, we would sit as a team in a restaurant somewhere, the whole team, and watch Canada.
Cool.
It does not get better than that. We have to take, unless you're doing it with family.
Right.
We'll take a timeout and be back in a moment. It's the Rod Peterson Show, episode 140 on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Every sale held in 2019 has led up to our biggest event of the year. Ring in the savings with year-end clear-out at Capital GMC. We're making a list and checking it twice of the biggest savings on pre-owned vehicles this holiday season. Check out this loaded, certified pre-owned 2019 Chevy Equinox. Get it under the tree for just $25,998 plus tax. And this loaded, certified pre-owned 2019 GMC Acadia is only $32,997 plus tax. Only at Canada's number one certified pre-owned dealer, Capital GMC in Regina.
You need to adapt and you need to move forward. You can't be stuck in 1920. Direct West is on the top of their game. They know what they're doing, how they're doing it. And when you work with Direct West, things are good. There's no going backwards. They're moving forward. My business would not be where it is today without the help of Direct West to help me with my website and my Facebook and all my online presence. I've worked with Direct West for about 10 years, and it's been a great experience.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
A man's personality and character is exuded through his haircut. Your image is important. Our high-end services range from a traditional haircut and shave to gray blending, beard shaping, and unwanted hair removal. Located at 425 Victoria Avenue East, book your appointment online now at modernmen.ca or call Tammy 306-522-4111. Modern Men, a haircut for the modern man.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.